Welcome to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Guardians Radio Network. Guardians Weekly is brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Everyone, and welcome to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope the first week of the new year has gone well for you as the winter weather descends upon Northeast Ohio, making it seem like baseball season is a long way off. And I know things are a little bit different in this offseason in terms of the hot stove, but that does not keep our show off the air as we will continue to talk baseball weekly with you with some of the names and people who have made the game go in the past. And we'll get to some other things as we get closer to the start of a season. Coming up on this week's show, we will visit with Minnesota Twins broadcaster Corey Provis. We'll talk some hockey, winter weather in Minneapolis. You think it's been cold around here this week? Holy smokes, they've had a real blast of winter up there in the recent 10-day stretch. So we'll talk to Corey about a variety of subjects, including some of the play-by-play broadcasters that he has worked with in his career with three different teams. And there's some beauties in there, folks. So you don't want to miss that. That's the second half of our show today. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll take a listen back to one of the really nice moments of the season this year. CC Sabathia came back to Cleveland in August to continue some of the charitable endeavors that he's been a part of, not only in his career in Cleveland, but also after he went to New York and pitched for the Yankees, and now in retirement, still giving back to the community and still doing so in Cleveland. And he talked about that with Tom Hamilton during the course of a game broadcast, and we'll hear part of that interview when we return after a break shortly. But first, these reminders. If you want to pick up the new Guardians gear, it is available at the Guardians Team Store at Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland. All the great new gear on hand there. Also, six packs are back for the coming season, and you can get a six pack for as low as $99. Six games to enjoy throughout the season in great seat locations. Just go to CLEGuardians.com for all your information on six packs. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear Tom Hamilton and CC Sabathia as CC stopped by the booth in late August to visit with Tom, and it was a fun visit, and he's doing a lot of stuff here in retirement. Doesn't seem like he's taking a step back, maybe busier than when he was a player, and we'll hear that when we return after this time out on the Cleveland Clinic, Cleveland Guardians Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Flo from Progressive. Being a baseball fanatic like me can be stressful. It's not all sports points and touchdowns. So Progressive is going to help you take your mind off your team for a moment. Instead of thinking about how they missed that goal point score, think about the Name Your Price tool from Progressive letting you choose coverage options based on your budget. Unlike your team that missed the end zone net area. Well, anyway, hope this distraction about Progressive's Name Your Price tool was helpful. It sure kept me from thinking about all those penalty balls. Yay, sports!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from downtown Cleveland and Progressive Field. Great to have you along with us for baseball talk on the radio on a cold winter weekend. This summer, we had the pleasure of being joined by CC Sabathia, who was in town for some charitable endeavors in August, and we'll hear about those during the course of this interview that he did with Tom Hamilton during the course of a game. Now, Brian Motze, our expert engineer producer back at Command Center, was able to edit out some of the play-by-play, so it really does flow as an interview And really good stuff here. So let's pick it up with C.C. Sabathia, one of the all-time greats on the mound for the Indians. And that's saying a lot considering how many great pitchers have come through this franchise. But he was one of the best from 2001 through his final season with the Tribe back in 2008. And let's listen in. Tom Hamilton and C.C. Sabathia.
The Indians with a 3-0 lead as we go to the second inning. Left-hander Sam Hentges to face Jose Iglesias. And Hentges, the young 25-year-old lefty, delivers up and in, ball one, and a guy that looks like he could probably win another Cy Young is with us. C.C. Sabathia, great to see you and Amber. Gosh, you guys, did the two of you ever age?
Thank you. Good to see you. How you been?
Good, as the pitch is high, 2-0. You look phenomenal. First off, before we get into everything about you today, Amber's an agent?
Yeah. So she's working at CAA now. She's been there since May. And, you know, she was with me every step of the way in my career and, you know, watched everything and was basically my agent the last 5 years, doing all my deals and everything off the field, documentary, the book, all of this stuff. So it just made sense for her to transition into that field. Little C's 17 now, headed to a senior high school. Right now he's actually at PG National at the All-American game in San Diego.
Oh,
so
yes.
He's turned into a pretty good little baseball player, and he's got some options for college. And, you know, hopefully Amber can guide his career.
C, does he want to go to college, or would he want to be drafted right away? Or what do mom and dad want?
Mom and dad want college. if you ask him, it's always his dream to play in the big league. So,
yeah.
You know, he wants to get there as fast as possible. But I think he understands the development part of it and, you know, the benefits of going to college. He's obviously heard my story and understands my story and the struggles that I went through being so young. So I think he's leaning towards college.
And to think, like you say, Amber was there with you in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were high school sweethearts. How about a wife knows probably better than not to take anything away from an agent.
Yeah.
She knows better.
Yeah, I mean, she went through it all. You know, the free agencies and, you know, all the stuff that we had to go through throughout the career with, you know, dealing with different teams and everything. You know, she was right there. I mean, even in the minor leagues, you know, getting called up and different things.
Pretty special moment for you as the field at Luke Easter Park was named after you today. Tell us about that. And, I mean, how does all this feel?
Yeah, it's an incredible feeling to have a park named after me at Luke Easter, to have a field named after me at Luke Easter Park on Larry Doby Drive. You know,
I mean,
it's an incredible honor. I mean, it's incredibly humbling, you know, being able to have that here in Cleveland. You know, in California, in Vallejo, you know, it's something different. But to be here in Cleveland and be recognized like that, it means a lot. And I always talk about how special this city is to me. And obviously I grew up in California, but I feel like I had a chance to mature here as a man. You know, three out of the four of my kids were born here. We started our foundation when we were here, so we called that our fifth child. So really four of our five kids were born here. So, you know, we have a special connection to the city, and you know, it's going to be lifelong now.
I talk about Charlie Nagy, Jim Thome, you. There have been some others, but those were the guys I was able to see when they started. The three of you never changed.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, no matter how much success the three of you had, you'll be in Cooperstown someday. Jimmy's there. Does that come back from mom and dad?
I think it comes back from mom and dad, but I think this organization, they do a good job of drafting good people, you know, like, and they make sure that you understand that, you know, that's important to be here. And to be a Cleveland Indian and be a part of this organization is to take care of people and take care of your teammates. And, you know, that's something that we all understand from a young age, you know, being in this organization. So you have to tip your cap to this organization.
C.C., I heard you told a great story today, part of why you're here with the young kids, about Dave Stewart.
Yeah, so I had a chance to meet him at my Boys and Girls Club. The director of my Boys and Girls Club, Fillmore Graham, knew him somehow. And he just came out on a random day. Came out, signed autographs, and just talked to us for like 10 minutes. It was just, you know, just a random, you know, meeting, but I still remember it to this day like it was yesterday. I was 9 years old, got a chance to shake his hand, and then 3 days later, I'm watching him pitch on TV. So now I can see myself being that, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I always wanted to be in the community and always wanted to be around kids and, you know, show my face and not just throw money at things.
So that has that impact on you. You know, who knows what youngster today was impacted.
I hope so.
Why is this so important? I mean, a lot of players talk the talk, but you've actually walked the walk. You do get involved.
Yeah, and it's just it's because of that meeting, because of, you know, what it, how it made me feel. And like you said, hopefully it just, if I can just impact one kid today and they can do what I've been able to do, then it's all worth it.
CC Sabathia is our guest. I got to ask you about one other thing. Get in the game. I know it involves the head coach at Wake Forest, who has a great story of his own, giving a kidney to a player that he had 1 year in college, mm-hmm. which to me is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But tell us about get in the game.
Yeah, get in the game. I mean, Tom Walters started it by donating his kidney to one of his players, and his assistant coach asked, can he do that? You know, not maliciously or not in a racist way, but just didn't know that, you know, a white man could give a kidney to a black man. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, getting the game is just educating people that, yeah, all our blood's the same, we are the same, and it's just educating people on those things and, you know, making sure, you know, kids are, you know, doing and saying the right things.
I'm going to embarrass you, but that's okay. I always felt you were one of those guys. Paul Sorrento was a guy that we had here like that. It didn't matter, black, white, Hispanic, an Eskimo, I don't care. You guys all had the ability to get along with everybody, to converse with everybody. That's a special gift, CeCe.
Yeah, I mean, I just like to be around people and like to have
but
fun.
But you're colorblind.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. And you know, you're going to be around your teammates for 8 months out of the year. So these guys become your family. So you have to get to know them. You have to get to know their culture. You have to get to know what makes them tick. You have to get to know what makes them happy, makes them excited. So, yeah, I mean, wanting to know those things about people makes you colorblind and makes you, you know, get really engaged and get to know your teammates.
Well, you've been one of the great teammates that anybody ever played here. I just still think it's neat. Look, you're going into Cooperstown. You'll have a Yankee hat on because the majority of your career ends up being there. But this is still that special. Cleveland and the Indians are still that special to you and Amber. That's
pretty
for
neat. Sure. I mean, but just because, you know, you said I'm going to Cooperstown, but if I don't come through here, there's no way that I make it 19 years. You know, having a chance to come through this organization and, you know, the Mark Shapiros, you know, Mike Seggy, Tony Amato, these people, you know, you guys helped me grow up. You know, I was 17 years old when we was in the booth here last time we did these interviews. So, you know, having a chance now to sit back and, you know, come back and have it go full circle. Rosie, you know, I've been knowing, you know, it's been 25 years. So it's a lot of fun to be able to be back here and be a part of this organization. Yeah, this is home.
Your first start, I don't think any of us will forget. I think your first 28 pitches were
fastballs. Charlie made me throw fastballs the whole inning. Right before I went out, he was like, don't throw anything else but fastballs. Jeff Conine hit the 3-run homer, and I come back in, and he goes, okay, now you can start using your stuff.
CeCe, you were a really good hitter. But, of course, you didn't get to hit except National League. Does Shohei amaze you?
It's amazing what he's able to do, his talent. I mean, not just hitting. I mean, how big he is, how fast he is, how hard he plays all the time. It's like watching the best kid in Little League. Like, Little League World Series is on right now, and the best kid on every team is the pitcher, the best hitter, and he's doing that in the big leagues. It's fun to watch.
Is it sustainable? I mean, it's hard for you guys as pitchers.
Yeah, you know what? To be honest, I've just said, I don't even care if it's sustainable. Like, let's just enjoy what it is now.
Great point.
You know, and whatever he turns into, whether it's a hitter or a pitcher, then we'll have to root for him. But for me, I just want to enjoy whatever it is now. I don't really care how long it is. But right now, I feel like he's having one of the better seasons anybody's ever had in the big leagues.
That's a great point. Enjoy Shohei or enjoy any of these incredible athletes. CeCe, saw it on, I believe it was HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was an incredible production that you folks put together under the Grapefruit team.
Yeah.
That took people back to when you were throwing grapefruits?
Yeah.
People still see that?
Yeah, for sure. It's on HBO Max. It's called Under the Grapefruit Tree. And, again, my wife Amber's the executive producer of it.
Really?
But, yeah, it was just a lot of fun to be able to shoot that. We did that all of 2019. Because I had some cool moments coming up, 250 wins, 3,000 strikeouts. And while we were shooting it, we were like, man, you can't really tell the end of the story without telling it all.
Yep.
So that's how it became the documentary.
CeCe, you felt it was important. A lot of people I think everyone knows you had some struggles, like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is when you're a major league star, everybody knows about it. The rest of us get away with it. Why was it so important for you to put that out in the open and get that story out?
I think it was important for me to tell my story just because it can be anybody's story, you know? Losing a parent, missing a parent, you know, dealing with all those different things of growing up in the inner city and not dealing with that trauma. I wanted to be able to tell my story so maybe it could help somebody get help. And even, you know, my alcoholism was different than, you know, what you see from anybody else. I never got a DUI. I was never in trouble. And people were like, oh, why is he going to rehab? I was just tired of battling it myself. So maybe somebody's listening right now and, you know, they know that they have a problem but is scared to get help and they can reach out. You know, now after hearing my story and knowing what I went through, you know, it's good on the other side when you
pretty
get
incredible.
Help. For sure.
Pretty incredible. CC, I think back to 2007. If maybe you and Fausto had even a couple of more years' experience, probably win that ALCS in five games.
It wasn't Fausto. It wasn't Fausto pitched the way he was supposed to. It was me. It was me not understanding that I didn't have to go out and try to throw a shutout every game.
Did you try to do too much?
I was trying to go out. I wanted to be the star of the postseason. I wanted to be the reason why the Indians won the World Series, and I ended up being the reason why we didn't. You know, that team was the best team in the big leagues by far that year. We were really the best team.
Really?
Me and Fausto at the top, Pronk and Grady and, you know, our lineup, we were the team. And if I pitched the way I pitched down the stretch in Milwaukee, if I pitched the way I pitched in the playoffs in 09, we definitely win the World Series. So, you know, I had to take that lump here, and I feel bad for these fans and this organization that I wasn't able to deliver here. And, you know, but that experience helped me do it, you know, down the stretch in Milwaukee and, you know, the next year in Cleveland.
Yeah,
but it was all in a three-year span.
Right.
So it was all – I learned from that playoff.
Right. Yeah, but without you, we're not even there. So, you know, in Boston was – they had really good pitchers.
They were really good, but we were a better team for sure.
Why do you say that, C?
Just because we were good. Yeah. We just didn't have the experience. You know, I think if we would have had a little more playoff experience with the core – We had, you know, Trot Nixon in there. He was our engine. He was our, you know, we had Kenny. Kenny came back that year. But just the core of us, we weren't experienced in the playoffs. Me, Pronk, Casey Blake, Sizemore, we hadn't been through it yet.
Well, my friend, you gave us a lot of thrills. We hadn't seen a Cy Young Award winner since Gaylord Perry until you got here on the stage. And, CC, we're all so proud and happy for you, Amber, your incredible family. Continued success, and thanks for always coming back here to Cleveland. That means a lot to people.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. This organization means a lot to me, and this is home for us.
CC Sabathia still with a lot to give to not only the game of baseball, but the communities where he's a part of, and that's great stuff right there. So thanks a lot for tuning in to that. When we come back, we'll hear from Corey Provis, radio voice of the Minnesota Twins, and also some Big Ten basketball on the Big Ten Network and Fox Sports as well. Some fun stories with Corey when we return on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network. Welcome back to Guardians Weekly, and we are happy to be joined this week by Corey Provis, fine broadcaster for the Minnesota Twins. And we have Corey on because they had a great event at Target Field, one of the prettiest ballparks in Major League Baseball. And they played hockey there on New Year's Day as the Minnesota Wild and St. Louis Blues played in the NHL Winter Classic. And Corey, I know you did not go to the game itself, but you had a chance to skate on the rink the day after, and fans here are familiar with that from many years ago when Ohio State played Michigan at Progressive Field, and big crowd for that. But what's that like in a place where you see so much baseball over the course of the summer to be out there on a skating rink in the middle of winter?
Rosie, my man, great to catch up with you. Happy 2022. I'm not sure if you're a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan. I know there's kind of the threshold from Larry David as to when you can no longer say Happy New Year, so perhaps we've crossed that. So just happy 2022 is what I'm going to go with, my friend, and we'll go with that and move on. But, the event, I watched it. It looked awesome on TV. There was not any part of my body that wished that I was there. It was minus, well, with the wind chill, it was minus like 15, 20 degrees. You saw frost on the players' beards, right? I mean, it looked beautiful, and I thought they did a great job, both, TNT, but then the Twins, the Wild, everybody involved, the Target Field, to making that event, kind of capture what Minnesota is this time of year. And I think they nailed it. I think they hit it out of the park. So it was a great, great event that I think they should all be proud of. And then you're right that we got an option to skate on Sunday on the rink before they began to tear it down. And I probably enjoyed that more than my family did. They were like, oh, well, it's a rink. I just soaked it up, more or less skating over second base and center field and just looking around and seeing, the stands and the seats and the scoreboard and the press box. And it was a beautiful day. It was cold, but it was sunny. It was just a light winds. So I've been fortunate in my career. Now I could say that I've skated in two ballparks. I've skated at Target Field and also at Wrigley Field back in 2008.
And do you think you had a better time than your family? Because naturally you're just a better skater.
I think that is true. I think there's absolutely, my daughter though is making, she's getting better. My wife can skate a little bit. My son, it's been a battle. And, I love for them to play hockey, but at minimum, I want them to know how to skate. Because if you're going to live in Minnesota, you have to skate. I mean, there's just pond hockey everywhere. There's just places to skate. You're not just looking for an indoor rink here. I mean, there's always ice. There's always places to go. So pick up hockey games and pick up skating. It happens here spontaneously. So that's why, we really want, our kids to skate at minimum. If they want to do hockey, great. But I loved it. I mean, I loved to skate. I played hockey as a kid, and it was fun to get back out there.
Corey Provis joining us, fine broadcaster for the Minnesota Twins. And you mentioned what the fabric of wintertime in Minnesota is so much revolved around hockey. And I thought the way they weaved in some of the Twins greats in that game on Saturday, Justin Morneau and Joe Mauer, were you aware that they have a pickup hockey game every Monday night in Justin Morneau's backyard, rink? How about that?
Yeah, how about that? How about that setup, man? You look at his career and his career earnings, and you can have that kind of setup there, Rosie. I mean, Tom Hamilton maybe could probably have something close, but maybe just shy of Morneau in terms of career earnings at this point. But, yeah, Justin told me that a couple of years ago, that he had this pickup hockey game going when he built this house that he's in now a few years ago. He wanted a rink and to have some guys come out and play. So that's been a thing that Justin's proud of, that he's been able to do. And yeah, I thought that was cool that when they had the different small ponds, and again, kind of capturing what hockey is right now, I thought it was neat in center field and in the outfield. They had the small little ponds, if you will. Granted, no water underneath. Obviously, it was the grass, but still, they froze these little areas to just kind of say, "Hey, we're big believers in pond hockey up here." So they had, the Gophers, they had the Lynx and the Wolves, the Vikings all drop a ceremonial first puck. But then on the main rink, it was Morneau, who had a big time hockey background. He was a goalie, growing up in British Columbia. So that hockey's a big sport for him. And Mauer was out there too. Ken Herbeck with his local ties. And then the guy that got the biggest ovation was Tony Oliva. He's in his mid to upper 80s right now. And Tony honored because he was just announced as a member of the 2022 Hall of Fame class, which is awesome. Been a long time coming for him and Jim Cott. So it's going to be really neat. There'll be a large Twins contingent that will invade Cooperstown this summer. For the Hall of Fame, Antonio, rightfully so, will finally get his chance to speak and join many of his peers, many posthumously, but still some that will be there on that stage that I know he'll have a wonderful time.
Wait, you mentioned him, and I want to stay right there, Corey. Tony Oliva, Hall of Fame. When the Indians, and back when they were the Indians, when the Guardians go to Minnesota, it's normal during batting practice to see him interacting with players on the Twins, and it seems like that's a regular thing for him. What has that been like to know that he's a part of that organization still very much in a visible way on a daily basis when the team's at home?
To me, he is the ambassador of the Twins right now. He is the grand ambassador of this team, and he is a guy that I've been lucky, and we've talked about this in years past, the Twins caravan, that I've been out with Tony, on various caravan legs, and he's always a big draw. just the way that he just kind of engages with people and a storyteller, and just he brings back, you know, memories from, you know, previous generations that are very important. And so he is a vital part of the Twins, who they were and who they are. And so for him to get that, that final acknowledgement that, hey, you are deserving, even at his age, I think is wonderful. And I think it was important to him. He wanted to get in, and he deserved to get in. And so he's a great guy. He's just an awesome guy to be around. And I'm thrilled that you know, he'll be there with his roommate. You know, he and Rod Carew were roommates together. So when those two guys are together, they call each other roomie. I mean, it's pretty cool hearing Rod Carew and Tony Oliva just go back and forth about, hey, roomie this, hey, roomie that. And then, you know, Jim Kyle was also teammates with Tony. And Kitty, who's, you know, I'm sure that many listening right now don't remember him as a player, but do as an accomplished broadcaster, which he is that tenfold. So I think his speech is going to be one for the ages. I think Jim Cott is going to have just an amazing, amazing speech that is one that's going to be replayed. Kind of, I go back to John Smoltz. I think some of the recent Hall of Fame speeches that I've heard, and I haven't heard every one, but I thought John Smoltz's speech was so good about the importance of not just playing baseball, for the young kids out there to do other things. And I have stressed that over and over again, to just watch that speech. If you're a young athlete and you love playing baseball, which I'm glad that you do, but the importance of doing other things is vital. And if you don't want to believe me, then just put on that, go to YouTube and bring up John Smoltz's Hall of Fame speech. I think that was a great one. I think Jim Cotts is going to be one that we'll look back on years from now and say, you know what, that was one of the best maybe ever in Cooperstown history.
Now, when you define good in terms of Hall of Fame speeches, you worked alongside someone who had one of the great Hall of Fame speeches of all time in Bob Uecker, back in a prior lifetime for you. But that might have been one of the all-timers right there, too.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, that's true. And the beauty of that was none of it was written down. I mean, there was no paper. There was no cards. There was no Post-its. It was just, you know, Bob at his genius, you know, comedic, you know, level, able to do that and do that, you know, without any prepared notes. And it speaks to his brilliance. And he's got another birthday coming up here in a few weeks. And he's a treasure. You know, we don't have many left of his generation. And he's still doing games. He's going to do home games again this year. And he's a vital part of my life, and obviously a vital part of the game and the game's history. But you're right that, you know, Bob Uecker, after doing that, he was asked to come back and MC. And, you know, he was always grateful, but he would rather work. He'd rather do games. And he went back, I think, for Bud Selig and for Bob Costas, two good friends of his that were recently inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. But he's a treasure. He's a treat. He's a very special guy in my life. And looking back on Hall of Fame speeches, yeah, his is tough to beat.
What was it like working with him on a regular basis, just day to day of the baseball season?
It was the best remedy for a bad day. It was. And you have him. Even when you win and your team is winning, you need a day. You're just tired. You've worked maybe 20 straight games, and you've been in three different cities and two different time zones. And man, you just want to come home and do some work around the house. You just want to go to the grocery store. You just want to go to the beach. You want to go for a bike ride, whatever. You want to go golf. And you just didn't have it. And I drive into work, and I get to Miller Park, and I park and, you know, get up to the booth. And I'm still not, you know, I don't have that jolt of energy. But then, you know, you could come up after interviewing, you know, Ken Maka or whomever it was, Ron Renicki, you know, the manager. And he would then all of a sudden, once he got in the booth, it was like, boom, it's the light switches on and all that fatigue you were feeling is gone, because you knew for the next, you know, 3.5 hours, you were going to laugh. You were going to learn, and all that negative stuff that you felt, you know, 2 hours earlier is gone. And then that excitement to do the job, that jolt that you need to do the job, it came from him. So that's why I always go back to, it was the best remedy for a bad day, because we have him. And he was always the antidote to make that go away.
Cleveland baseball fans will always identify with Bob Uecker as Harry Doyle from the Major League movies. And I think in some cases, you see someone who's in the limelight and they're like, do I have to talk about that movie again? But it seems like he embraced that, at least the last time we saw him. He's always seems happy to talk about his role in those movies that made them so funny.
And he's never seen the movie start to finish. That's the best part. That's the best part of it. It's on all the time. It's on in clubhouses. But he's never really watched the whole thing. They just seated and watched it from start to finish. And I've asked him about that in the past. Maybe you've asked him about it. He just, as good as he was in that movie, he was brilliant. He thinks he could have done better. He thinks he could have inflected, you know, this line better, that syllable, that word in a different manner that maybe would have garnered another level of laughter, or maybe would have helped kind of tell this side of the story. So that's just, you know, who he is. That's part of his makeup, but he's never seen that movie start to finish. But, you know, there'd be times when we were together, and I wouldn't do it every day, but, you know, it wouldn't be a run. Maybe it was a hit, and, you know, Milwaukee had a bad day offensively and we're in commercial break. And I say to Bob, I'm like, you know what, today we only got one hit. We only got, and then he would finish the line. Ah, the heck with it. Nobody's listening, right? So we would just kind of, every now and then, I would just kind of pick my spot. And sometimes he'd take the bait, not always, but I would try to get that line or a line from the movie out of him, because it wasn't always my favorite baseball movie. But then after being with him, it is now my favorite baseball movie. And now it's up there in terms of I'm not saying that Shawshank is my favorite movie, but it's one of those movies that if it's on like TNT or TBS, I can't turn off. Right. If it's on, I have to watch it. And same with Major League. If it's on, I find it somewhere, I cannot turn it off. I have to just keep watching it. And I think some of that, if not all of it, is because that I got to work with Harry Doyle, with the man.
All right, and it's a couple of generations now of players who still talk about it in the clubhouse or reference a line or two from that movie every now and again. So it has stood the test of time, no question. Corey Provis joining us, a fine broadcaster for the Minnesota Twins. Hey, you work with Dan Gladden now. Was he out there skating on Sunday, or did he take a pass on that?
No, Danny was he was behind bars. He was incarcerated for the weekend, so he was unable to partake. No, Danny's been in Arizona. He hangs out there in the wintertime, but his family, his kids, his grandkids are in the city, so he comes back and he'll see them when he can. He's got another grandchild on the way in March, but Danny's the best, and I've been lucky. Rosie, I've had, you know, Ron Santo, you know, Bob Uecker, and Dan Gladden, so that's why my hair is long gone. Just because of those three guys. But it was, I've just been really fortunate. And Danny and I, it's been 10 years now. He's been the longest broadcast partner I've had in my career. So we're entering our 11th year together in 2022. And I just know every day that he's going to be himself, and I want him to be himself. And we don't script anything. We don't plan anything. And we just kind of roll with it and see what happens. And who comes by, it could be, you know, Cheryl Teagues, you know, who's in town promoting something, and maybe she drank too much or took something and it sounds weird in the air, but you know what, we're going to go with it. Or it could be something in social media, which Danny knows nothing about, that still could be kind of fun. So we just kind of let the day happen, the game happen, and don't plan anything. And I think the spontaneity of it is what makes it work, because I'm really proud of what we do as a team in the booth each and every day throughout the summer.
All right, we'll let you go on this. Cleveland, obviously, tough winners. But Minneapolis, St. Paul area, they take it up a notch. What does minus 20 feel like? How bad is that?
It's not bad. It's still, you know, flip-flops and T-shirt and bathing suit. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's got to – so I heard this line when I moved up here that it's not that – The weather's terrible. It's that individuals make poor clothing decisions. And there's something to that. Yeah, you know, the weather, it's going to be cold. So if you don't want to be cold, put on another sweatshirt or put on a face mask or put on a hat, put on some gloves, and then it's doable. But people get outside. I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, I get up early in the morning and I'll see people out my window, and it'll be, you know, 5:30 in the morning. It's pretty dark outside, and they're running. I mean, they've got you know, tracks on their shoes, and they've got like a light on their forehead, and they're out running. So people just adjust, and you drive around here, and there are ice shacks everywhere, and on a bunch of the frozen water, and ice fishing is very popular up here. It's a windy day as we're chatting here today. It wouldn't shock me if there's people that are doing some kind of like that kite surfing, if you will, that will do it on the lake. So people just adapt, whether that's cross country skiing or snowshoeing. You just adapt to it and you don't complain. It's cold, but there are certain days, yes, where you know you're probably going to hunker inside a bit more. But if it's, you know, 5-10 degrees like it is today, you get outside. It's okay. Just put on some clothes.
You know what? The St. Louis Blues goalie, I think he put hot chicken soup in his water bottle. And to me, that's being prepared and ready to go. And
smart.
No
smart.
Complaints.
That's smart.
Yeah.
And they won. See?
But it didn't seem to put a damper on a great weekend. Outdoor hockey in Minneapolis at Target Field, one of the great baseball parks in the major leagues. And they hosted hockey in a big way, and they did it very well over the weekend. Corey Provis, thanks so much for stopping by. Always fun to catch up, and we'll catch you down the road real soon, I'm sure.
Rosie, always enjoy it. Best to you, Tommy, your family, everybody, and we'll catch up down the way.
That's Corey Provis, fine broadcaster for the Minnesota Twins. Stay tuned. More to come as Guardians Weekly continues after this timeout.
Don't go away, folks.
Sure, we have 30 seconds to tell you that drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. But then what? Well, there is a nice piece of stock music playing behind me that a talented composer worked really hard on. So let's enjoy it. Wow, almost overshadows the saving big when you switch to Progressive part. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. And just a reminder, several different ways to hear our show each week. You can do so on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network. The show drops usually late afternoon on Saturdays. You can hear that wherever you download your favorite podcasts or at CleGuardians.com. All the archived editions are right there. As always, we want to thank Brian Motze for putting together our show each week back at Command Center. Until next week, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Enjoy your Saturday night. Guardians Weekly has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.